know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for your blessings, for your presence. I pray that each one of us would be encouraged this morning, Lord. We would see that you truly have come to set us free so that we can have a new life, so we can put behind us the past and live each day serving you, seeking you, walking in obedience with you. May your will be done now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the title of the message today is Reconciliation. And I hope everybody understands that that's why Jesus came, to reconcile us. I want to begin in 1 Peter 2:24-25. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So what He did on that cross was so that we could die to sin and live for righteousness. He didn't do it just to take away our sins. That is part of it. But also to live for righteousness now. And it says, by His wounds you have been healed. And, you know, we often use that verse for by His wounds you have been healed in healing physical ailments, physical things. We'll pray for people. We anoint them with oil. We claim this verse over their life. By His wounds you have been healed. But I believe it's not just the physical, but it's also the spiritual, that we've been healed as to walk in righteousness now. But this end of this verse is what it just been on my mind. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And I just kept thinking about that verse. For we were like sheep going astray. Each and every one of us at times in our life have been like that wandering sheep, has gone astray. Isaiah 53:5-6 says, But He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. That's a third day song, if you've ever heard it. It's a good song. But so that's 1 Peter's taken from that. And then it goes on. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities of all of us. We've, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for yours and my sin. If you want to open up now to 2 Corinthians 5, and 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll begin in verse 14. It says, For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I want you to really think about that. For Christ's love compels us. I don't know, we're all made differently, and different things motivates us. For some of us, it's punishment is what motivates you to not do something. You know, if you're going to be punished, then you're not going to do it. But I want you to think about what this says here. For Christ's love compels us. Because Jesus loves you so much, does that compel you to live differently? Does that compel you to have a different attitude, a different thought? Because I think sometimes we think so much about hell and judgment that's why we're living our lives, to keep from going from hell to hell. And that we forget sometimes of how much Jesus does love us, that the cross, that He bore our sins, and that should compel us to live differently. If my boss tells me, man, Pete, I really need this and I know you can do it, man, I'm going to kill myself trying to do what he needs done. But I got another boss and he used to yell at me all the time. And y'all, it would almost shut me down. Like, you gonna yell at me? I'm doing my best. We'll see how you like this speed. Go a little slower. It's just something in me, but when someone brings me encouragement, when someone says, I know you can, then it compels me to do even more and to do my best. And y'all, I want you to understand how much God loves you, how much Jesus loves you. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. I got underlined in my Bible, and I'd encourage you to underline in your Bible that we no longer live for ourselves. God, we are a selfish people and a selfish society. And most of the things I think that many of us do in our lives is out of selfish ambition and selfish desire. But how awesome and how much would it change where we live, in our community, in our workplace, in our homes, if we would decide that I'm no longer living for myself, I'm living for God. He is who matters. His love compels me because all that He has done for me. Verse 16, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. I don't want to hang out too much on that, but that goes along with the message last week and the demons and the spirits and what we're really battling and what we're really facing. And y'all, the people that you dislike so much, can you stop and say they're lost, they're being deceived? I was sharing with my family this week, some of them about, I want to make it very vague. Nobody from work, I think, watches these videos, but I do want to make it very vague. But I learned the background of someone's life this week, how they had been kind of tossed around, how their dad was horribly mean and abusive and ended up moving out and all these different things about this person's life. I have a really hard time with this person, but it shed a little light on what he's grown up in and what he's went through and maybe why he's the way he is. Y'all, we need to begin to look at people from a different point of view, not from a worldly point of view. Last week, Jonah, he didn't want to go and preach the gospel. He hated those people, but God loved those people, and we need to look at it in this way, is that God loves those people, and He wants them to repent. He wants them to turn back to Him. So let's quit regarding people from a worldly point of view. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And what I feel like has happened in my own life is I was that new creation and the old was gone and the new came. But for me personally, I didn't quit filling myself with the old. And so it began to taint me once again. And I fell right back into old habits and old things and old temptations. Why? Because I kept pouring in the old. And now I've realized I need to get away from that old junk because it's polluting me and start living in the newness of who I am in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so I looked up reconciled and it says to change mutually, that is, to compound a difference, and reconciliation says exchange, that is restoration to, in parentheses or in quotations here, the divine favor, atonement. So God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and He has given you and me the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what that means? That means that we are supposed to be telling people the good news of Jesus and what He's done for us. How He's reconciled us. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There it is again, becoming the righteousness of God. And the point that I so want to stress to you and to myself this morning is because what Jesus has done, we've been restored to a relationship with God now. And we have a message to get to the lost, that they can be reconciled, that there can be forgiveness, and that there can be change. And church, there's so many lost, there's so many dying, there's so many people that feel like they can't ever change. And I think there's people even in this room this morning that don't fully grasp what Jesus has done for him. The reconciliation. And He says that He has given us a ministry to tell people that they can be reconciled to God. Y'all, that's amazing to me. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. That we have a ministry, that we have something to say to the lost and dying world. But so many of us are so quiet, so scared, so timid. Well, they've already heard. They already know. Everybody knows who God is. Everybody's heard about Jesus. But have they really heard the message of what Jesus did on that cross for you and me to make us a new creation, that we might become the righteousness of God? See, that's the thing, is so many know the message, well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But they don't understand what all that entails. That means that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, every one of us. But because of what Jesus has done, now we can be reconciled. Now we can be brought back into the family. Now we can have a new life, and the old is gone and the new has come. Now we become the righteousness of God. Y'all, that's amazing for me to think that I can become the righteousness of God because of what Jesus has done. And I can live that new life. It goes on to say in 6:1, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the day. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this afternoon. Today is the day to understand that God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Do we fully understand that? Or have we pushed it back and pushed it back? I'll get saved when I get older. After I've lived my life, after I've done this, when I'm dying on my deathbed, I'll pray out and I'll cry out to God. That's a dangerous game to play, because we don't know when our time's up. We don't know when that moment comes. And for you who are Christians, is the message in your heart? Is the message on your lips? Is the message reflected in your life that you've been reconciled? That you've been saved? That you've been changed? Have any of y'all ever gotten just like a great gift given to you? And you're happy, you're joyful, you're excited, and you walk a little different, you act a little different, but then after a few weeks or a few months, what happens? You kind of forget about that gift maybe, and it kind of fades, and you're not that excited about it. And y'all, and I think that many Christians, that's what we've become, is we had this great gift given to us, the gift of salvation, but over time we've kind of forgot how awesome the gift is, and we've quit sharing. We've quit living it out. People don't see it in us anymore. And I want to go on here, because he tells us that as though Christ were making His appeal through us, that we are Christ's ambassadors. And then Paul talks about his hardships here. And he says, we put no stumbling blocks in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance. Some of you, you've lived in great endurance living for Jesus. Some of you that's been at Coop Prairie a long time, you've endured. in troubles. Some of you, you might be going through troubles right now, but you're still here this morning. You're still seeking God. Hardships. Some of you, you might be going through a hardship, but you're committed to following God. And in distress. But then look what happens in verse 5. And I don't know many that's lived this out in beatings. Anybody been beaten for their faith? Imprisonment. No. I don't know. You're hearing about it starting to happen. Are we ready for that? Are we gonna endure if we're thrown in jail for our faith? And in riots, and hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, and purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, and the Holy Spirit, and sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the righteous hands and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Paul's talking about all the ways that he has been Christ's ambassadors. Imprisonment, hardship, persecution, bad reports, good reports, having but not having. Can I ask you something this morning? How have you been an ambassador for Jesus Christ? You know, on my way to church this morning, there's a turtle walking across the road. And I don't like to kill anything if I don't have to, you know. So I kind of swerved over, and I was a good ways away from that turtle. And y'all know what that turtle did? What do turtles do? He drew up inside his shell to hide. Why? Because this car's flying by and he thinks that shell is offering him some kind of protection. Of course, if I had run over him, it wouldn't have protected him. That turtle would have been dead. But it just made me think of how many of us are just like that turtle when it comes to living out our faith or speaking the word of truth. Any little scary moment, what do? We draw back up inside. We don't want to tell them. We don't want to correct them. We don't want to preach to them. What will they think of me? Another day I was driving and this is probably about 3 weeks ago, and there was these little baby calves all along the fence. And I'm going down the road in my work truck and these little baby calves were sitting there, and there was some bigger mama cows and everything around them. And all at once, one of them looked up and saw my truck going. And it scared that calf, and it started running. Well, the other calf standing there, they're still eating their grass, looking down. And all at once, because the one started running, the other one started running. And before long, they were all running, and there wasn't even anything to be scared of. I wasn't driving through the barbed wire fence to run over them. I'm just going down the road, but all these calves, they all take off running. It made me think of us as believers. Just like that turtle, just like those calves. He says, we're His ambassadors, we're His representatives, and we have a ministry of reconciliation that we're supposed to be telling people about, that we're supposed to be preaching, but so many times we're scared and we run and we hide and we don't share what Jesus has done for us. Do you know what a witness is? A witness, I'm not telling, you know, Crystal's story. I'm not telling Peter's story. I'm not telling Mitzi's story. I'm telling my story, what I witness. And that's what a witness is. It's just telling, what has Jesus done for you? And some of us are so full of fear, so full of anxiety, we're so scared. We don't tell anybody what Jesus has done for us. We don't share it. We don't live it. We're to become the righteousness of God. In church, when we're the righteousness of God, we're not like everybody else. We're different. And people's going to look at our life and they're going to know that we're different by the way that we live. Our life is a sermon better than anything that we speak. Our life is the sermon. But then when people see your life, and hopefully they'll say, why are you so different? Why are you so calm? Why are you so full of joy? Why don't you laugh when everybody else laughs? Why? And you say, well, see, I'm like everybody else. I once was lost. I once was a sheep that had gone astray. But you see, Jesus did something for me. He changed my life. And now I'm a new creation. And those worldly things, we regard people from not from a worldly point of view. Now, y'all, I'm different. And I see things differently now. We don't have to preach a 3-point sermon. We don't have to. It's just, look what the Lord has done. Look how God's changed me. And that's what we're to be. With the ministry of reconciliation, as though God were making His appeal through us, that we are Christ's ambassadors. Are we imploring people to be reconciled to God? I'm going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, and I had two different starting points here, and I was trying to decide which one to start at, because really verse 7 goes more along with right where the sermon is, but verse 1 is so good. Let's just start with verse 1. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in His body is done with sin. You know what that's saying is that we need to arm ourselves and be ready to suffer. I don't know about y'all, but I've suffered sometimes when it comes to getting rid of sin in my life. The addictions, the things that's had a hold of me, it's not been easy. Sometimes it's suffering, and sometimes you're going to suffer in your life and your walk with God. But Christ suffered in His body, so we need to arm ourselves with that same attitude so that we can be done with sin. Verse 2 says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. See, there it is again about the will and what are we living our life for? Do we understand? Does Christ's love compel us to live a different life because He loves us so much that we're no longer going to live the life that we used to live? Says for verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in the debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idols. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse upon you. Y'all, I want you to think about that we don't take part in what they're taking part in. We're not stained with the same things that they do anymore because we're changed, we're different. And if you're not different, then are you really a believer? Have you really accepted the message of reconciliation where God has changed you? See, all have gone astray, and I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you like I hadn't. And even since I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there's been times that I've gone astray. There's been times that sin has crept into my life. And what's the problem? It's me. It's allowing those things into my life. It's not relying upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's not suffering. I didn't want to suffer enough to resist. I didn't want to suffer enough to fight through. Verse 5 says, But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. See, right there comes back the fear. Because they're going to have to give an account for the life that they lived. Church, you can't get out of it. We're going to stand before God someday. Each and every one of us. Is He going to be able to look at you and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or is He going to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you? Are you living your life for God? Or are you living your life for the earthly, selfish, human desires? You know, our leadership in this country, I completely disagree with them on pretty much everything. But I've been trying to pray for them. And I've been thinking that they're going to be standing before God someday, giving an account of their life and the decisions that they're making. And that's a scary thing. But you know what? I'm going to be right there too. Not for their life, but for my life. Verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. So here's where I'm picking back up. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, each and every one of us, if you're a child of God, as Christ's ambassadors, and we just read that He has given us a ministry of reconciliation, it don't matter if you're a truck driver like me, if you're the CEO of a big corporation, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're if wherever you're at in your life, each one of us has a ministry. Each one of us has something that God has placed in front of us to do, to show love, to show kindness, to affect those around us, and so that they can see our lives. And see, I love this though, that do it with the strength God provides. See that little turtle? It has no chance if I run over it, does it? It's going to get crushed. It's going to... I don't know why this story just popped in my mind. Did y'all see that story in Florida the last couple weeks ago where the woman was going down the interstate and something flew through the windshield and hit her in the head and it injured her? They had to pull off the road and call an ambulance. They thought maybe she... Somebody had shot the vehicle or dropped a rock or something. Y'all know what it was? It was a turtle. And you know what? The turtle lived. When the ambulance got there, the lady's fine too. I wouldn't tell you, the lady's fine. But it was a turtle shot through the windshield. And when the paramedics got there and stuff, it was in the floorboard crawling around. Said that that's the second time that it's happened. I don't think it was the same turtle. I don't know. But y'all, back to the story, okay? That turtle has no shot. But with God, we've got a shot. Because it's His strength. And we don't have to cower down anymore. We don't have to hide. We don't have to run. God gives us the strength. And church, there's so many lost people in this world. And when we're regarding them from an earthly point of view, we say they deserve death. They deserve to be in prison. They deserve what they're getting. But all we like sheep have gone astray. If it hadn't been for Jesus Christ, where would you be this morning? Where would I be this morning? I guarantee you I wouldn't be up here preaching.
I guarantee you, you wouldn't be sitting there this morning if it wasn't for Jesus. So we need to remember that and understand that God has given us a ministry. And what I've witnessed is different than what you witnessed, but God will place people in your life for you to witness to, for you to share your story with, that you can impact them. See, some of y'all have a completely different story than me. But there's someone in your life that God's going to place there. He told His disciples in Matthew 28, He says, "Therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And church, I believe today that we've lost, as believers, we've lost the desire to make disciples because we're so selfish, we're so busy, we're so worried about ourselves, we're so worried about what we have to do. We've lost the desire to make disciples. It's God that does it, but to train them in righteousness, to train them in what God has taught us through the Word of God. God provides the power so that we can train those in righteousness, so that we can train ourselves in righteousness, so we can live that life. I want to end with this. Matthew 22:37-40. It says, "Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" Do we really love God that way? And are we really loving our neighbor as ourselves? One more verse. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We know what the Lord's will is. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We know what God's will is. We just read that God says, "You're my ambassadors now, as though I were making my appeal through you." But He says that I'm going to provide the strength for you to do it. I'm going to provide the strength. And church, so many of us, we're hiding, we're weak, we're timid. The sign out there, "For I have not given you a spirit of fear." But how many of us are living each day in fear and we're scared to share the gospel? And if we're scared to share the gospel right now, when we've not been in prison, when we've not been beaten, when we've not been persecuted like that, what's going to happen in the end as those things begin to happen? When we are placed in prison, when we are beaten, when we are ridiculed, are we going to be able to stand firm? Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning, and I pray that each and every one of us would understand, Lord, that just how much You love us, and that You died on that cross for my sins and for each and every one of our sins. And Lord, that we would understand that You have an assignment for each and every one of us to do. May we understand that we are Your ambassadors in the way that we live our lives, in the words that we speak, in the way that we present ourselves, in our actions, in the way that we do our jobs, in the way that we conduct our business, in the way that we treat our families, Lord, that we are always representing You, for we claim to be Your children. And Lord Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would understand what our ministry is. Lord, whether it's at home, at work, at Walmart, and that we'd be willing to step up and be Your witnesses and be Your ambassadors. And Lord, that I pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, that You'd place someone in our lives this week that we might can just share with. that we wouldn't be in fear, that we wouldn't be timid, we wouldn't be scared. But Father, we would listen for Your voice and be obedient and act upon it. Just tell them what You've done for us. How we were lost, going astray, but how You brought us back. How we are reconciled now because of the cross. May Your Holy Spirit lead now, Lord. If there's any here that have never experienced that reconciliation, if there's any here, Lord, that are lost, there's any here, Lord, that have accepted You as their Lord and Savior but not been loving You with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. Lord, may they repent of it now and turn to You, and may there be a difference in us. May the garbage of this world, the garbage that these selfish desires bring into our lives, may we repent of it. May we turn away from it. May we get it out of our homes. May we get it out of our minds. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may we truly begin to walk in true righteousness following You now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know why I was just thinking, have any of y'all ever had a feud, fight with someone, and maybe you didn't speak to them for a while, and you just there was just conflict and maybe bitterness and resentment, but then something happened. It seems like with families, it's always when someone dies, you know. Then all at once you'll come back together and you'll show love and kindness, but sometimes there's still some awkwardness. You guys ever experienced that? Maybe not with a family member, with a coworker or something, and there's still some awkwardness, but then it takes some time, and then after time, if the relationship stays mended, then things can get back to normal. And but y'all, can I tell you something? That what Jesus did for you and for me, there, when you accept that and you come before Him, then there doesn't have to be any awkwardness. There can be a new life. There can be a new beginning. There can be that coming back together, like a joy that you've never known before. If you feel distant from God, you say, Pete, I've done so much and I just don't know. And the verse came to me, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking on your heart's door. And He says, if you'll let Me in, I'll come in and dine with you. I'll come in and hang out with you. But you have to make that choice. Are you going to let Him in? Are you going to be reconciled, or are you going to be restored to that right relationship with God? It's up to you. It's up to you this morning. And I hope you've made the choice to be reconciled. And then when you have, show it in the life that you live. In your work, in your home. Be a good ambassador. So that people know you're different. You're not the same. Prayer tonight at 6. I say prayer. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll see what happens. Like I said, if anybody'd like to bring their walking shoes, we may go to the track and walk afterwards and fellowship. So y'all have a blessed afternoon.